Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
My. Really? I'm fantastic. And what's the reason why? I'll tell you what's the reason why. Because I got you, and I got the ears of everyone around the globe listening in. And how can you lose with the stuff we use? Me and my co-host, the rock star himself, associate producer, Mr. Swede. Mr. Robert himself. Oh, and we even have Father Ray, who anoints us each and every Wednesday. Not only the people on the show, but the people around the globe. He passes that wisdom down from the big book. And then we've got Doyle. Don't ever, ever underestimate Mr. Doyle, because he comes from the heartlands of America, and he'll tell you just like it is and where it's all about. Let me see how my co-host fared the New Year's. How things work, Rockstar?
Everything is going great.
Went well, huh?
Of course, everything is going great, but we're just a few days in.
Well, yeah, that's true. It is the fifth, and I get it, just like you and everybody else does. I'm kind of glad that we threw out 2020. Now, I'm hoping to hell that 2021 is going to be a lot better than last year. But it's got me a little perplexed, and I'm being honest with you right straight up, is because, my gosh, California right now, they're shutting everything down. I mean, shut, close. And, oh, by the way, those old masks you had, burn them. We need the N95 plus some other kind of thing, and the cloth masks don't mean the damn thing. I'm thinking to myself, really? Wow. It's just blowing my mind, folks, because I don't know if you know it or not, but come March of this year, it'll be 3 years, going on 3 years of this crap. 3 years, folks. Think about it. It is what it is, right? You're going to have to endure something, and I guess we're going to have to endure this crap until somebody says, hey, enough is enough, and let's make something happen somehow, some way. I guess. I don't know. I'm not the big guy in the sky, but I can just tell you this, is I've been tolerating the best I can, and then when I get to the point I can't take it anymore, I go get a big bag, and I climb in it, and I singe it up, and then I scream. See if I can, before I want to kill myself. You know what I'm saying? It's getting nuts. But it is what it is, okay? So when you've got lemons, you make lemonade. Now, I mean, I don't know about any of you people, if you've been under a rock or what have you. Tomorrow is the day that they storm the White House. That's right. You heard right. They storm the people of the United States of America. Civil War started all almost again. And they went to go bombard the White House, man. And I don't know if it was a good thing to do or a bad thing to do. As I know that people got hurt. And what do you know? You turn on the damn news. I'm tired of turning on that damn news. One of the guys is from my state, not too far from here, and he's the number one hit list on the FBI, most wanted guy. And what do you think he did? He went and got out of the United States of America, and he's in the Ukraine, and he's asking Russia for asylum. And, you know, they're playing it all up. And I'm saying to myself, really? What the hell is next? But it is what it is. He says that he doesn't feel safe in our country any longer. Well, for two reasons. He did two interviews on their TVs back down there or wherever the hell they are, and telling everybody he fears for his life. So is that true? Government of today, by being a United States citizen, been here all your life, you know, freedom of speech type thing and all the other good things that go along with it, do we have to worry? I don't know. I'm not into politics. I just hear what I hear. And, you know, they're airing it all over the country. So, you know, it is what it is. And it is what it's going to be. So, like my co-host said, we're into 5 days of 2022. Can you imagine, Rockstar, 2022? Wow.
Don't hardly seem possible.
No, it don't. It really don't. Because, you know, I remember when I said to myself, if I reach the age of 40, I think I'm going to make it good. And who would have thought? I'm almost double that age now, minus 7 years, and I'm still going strong. Oh, my God. But these
eyes,
you
know, I was thinking about it.
What'd you say?
I was thinking about it earlier today, back when I was a kid, reading comic books and stuff. I want to know where the hell my jet car is. I want to know why I don't have a car that flies.
Yeah, do you remember the Jetsons on TV?
Yeah, yes, I do.
That's it, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember all that. Yeah, it's crazier than hell. It really is. I've got to tell you, I heard from Chuck Creel, and everybody knows about Chuck. He's down there from Chancellor, Alabama, right next to Enterprise, and he's been a great friend to all of us. He's like family. And anytime our team's out in that area, he puts everybody up. God bless him. Gives him the greatest hospitality in the world. He was going out hunting, but I didn't know this down in that area, Rocky, and you know it a hell of a lot better than I, that he can go out there and kill as many during the deer season that's open, probably afterwards too, but as he put it to me today, he says he can kill as many deers and does and don't you as he wants, and he doesn't need any licensing or anything. Did you know that?
It'd be his military thing, I would suppose. But
what are you talking about?
I don't have to work. They have lifetime licenses and stuff like that for people, former military people, in some areas, not everywhere, but. He was in the Air Force or something.
Well, he was, and then he did a stint in the volunteer fire department. But I asked him, I says, well, what makes you so much different? He says, I own the land. And if you own the land there in Alabama, you can do whatever you want. So I says, does that mean even if you go to get it processed? He says, no, that's the stipulation. You call them. You tell them that, hey, I just downed a deer, and I'm bringing it for to get processing, and they give you a number over the phone to put on the antlers, I guess, or wherever the hell they do it, on the hooves or whatever, and get it processed. But he says, I don't even do that anymore because I got my own butchering shop out here now, and I do it myself. And he says, What?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, and he says I'm putting up a bunch of sausage, deer sausage and stuff. And he says next time you guys come out, he says I'm going to give you all a bunch. And I says wow. I says that'll be nice. I says I'm sure the guys will love it to death. But I just want to make sure that he's not doing a bunch of shit. And next thing you find out, we're going to find out he's in jail. You know what I'm saying? Can you kill it? Well, wait a minute. Is Swede out there?
You bet he is.
Robert, you out there?
I am, Tom.
How many acres you got there? 30 acres?
We got 45.
45 acres. So let me ask you a question. Whatever season is open or whatever season that isn't open, can you go out there and kill whatever you want?
No, they got a limitation.
Not legally.
Yeah, it's limited, Tom. I mean, you know, they've got a bag limit, as they call it. You know, no, you can't just go out there and go to slaying. What you mean?
You can.
I think we have
a caught.
Right. I think that the bag limit here on us is 4. So, you know, between the archery season and the muzzle loading season and the gun season, modern gun season, you can kill, I think, 2 bucks and 2 does, or you can kill all those if you do it during archery and muzzle loading. I think that's the way it rolls. So, yeah, 4 deer, that's a pretty good freezer full, you know. I mean, that's what we've been living with legally for some time now.
Because I was kind of shocked when he told me that today. And he says, we've been getting a lot more people moving down here because we're a lot more liberal than every other state in the union. I says, wow. I says, I guess so. I said, I didn't know that, but I'm going to bring it up on the show, which I'm doing it right now. Is Doyle with us?
He is. Are you there, Doyle?
Hello.
Hey, Doyle, yeah, happy new you.
Happy new me. How are you doing, Tom?
Listen, I talked to our brethren over there in Alabama today. He called me three times, and he was sober, believe it or not. I was real happy about that. And he was telling me about he doesn't need any permits, licensing, or anything, because on his acreage there, he can go out and kill it, whatever it be, you know, a doe
right.
or anything.
On your own property. On your own property. If it's got four hooves or four claws or paws or whatever, if it's on your property, it's game here.
And do you need to get a license or a tag?
Not if it's on your property.
See, it's the same thing as Alabama. I'll be damned. And what about
like
if you,
don't call it? You don't call the local sheriff or the Fish and Wildlife or the state police and then tell them, well, I just killed three deer out here in my backyard. Nah, that's probably not a good idea. You call your brother, who's a certified butcher, and say, come over and let's carve some meat.
Okay, I get it. Okay, yeah. Well,
but we do have one thing, where I live, we have what we call an exception to the rule or a defense in the law. And we have what we call eminent domain. And that means that even if you're charged, you have a defense in court, but you're charged for, say, poaching a deer or whatever, or fishing, you know, illegally fishing or overfishing your limit or whatever. We have a thing where if you can articulate to the court, to the judge, the reason you were doing that was to feed your family, then your charges will be dropped.
That's amazing. It's amazing to see how everything fluctuates, ladies and gentlemen, around this country, okay? Alabama is one way, Kentucky's another way, Arkansas is another way, and forget about California. I mean, if you even seen with a gun here in California, they throw your ass in jail, whether it's a cap pistol or a toy pistol. I mean, it's a sin. It really is. But it is what it is. I'm sorry?
I said, if it goes bang more than 10 times, it's illegal in California.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So how was your New Year's Eve?
Mine?
Yeah, yours, Doyle.
Well, my baby mama fell asleep at about 9:30 because she had to be at work the next morning. My oldest kids are out of the nest now. They're out living on their own. And my baby boy was working at the burger joint in the next town over. So I sat here and watched TV. I watched Fox and watched the ball drop in New York. And then I watched what happened in Houston, Texas. Let me tell you something. Houston showed New York who the boss was. Their New Year's show was spectacular, far beyond anything they've ever done at Times Square. So I enjoyed that, had a little bit of bourbon, a couple of beers, and went to bed.
So it was an uneventful New Year's Eve for you.
Very much. It was one of the slowest ones, but, you know, typically I've always been one to frequent the New Year's Eve soirees, if you will. But this year we just decided to sit it out and stay at home. So
Probably the best thing to do right now, Doyle, especially in your medical condition that you're in, you know, just coming in off of that stint you did in the hospital and losing all that weight and everything else. But some little birdie told me that you're gaining it back. Is that true?
Let's put it this way, Tom. I've got a healthy appetite.
I
when I get
I tell
too
you,
strong,
believe...
I just don't feel good, you know?
Yeah, I get it. You know what? Who we haven't asked for is Father Ray. Father Ray, you out there?
I am here.
How are you doing there, Father Ray?
I'm doing wonderfully.
You know, before we get any further, and please, God, forgive me, I start rambling on here, and we didn't even get our prayer for the evening and for all the people around the globe. Would you be kind enough to give us a delayed prayer?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, we come before you, the Bigfoot community from around the world. We ask your blessing on us this new year. Help us this year to be a family, to support one another in our endeavor to find this creature, capture it, or kill it, or some, and to prove to the world its existence. Help us to share one another's concerns and help it, and to reach out to others in this new year. And Lord, please bless us with peace. All the strife that's going on in our country and throughout the world, lessen the tensions. Help us, Lord, to talk with one another, help each other, try to understand each other. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name
amen.
Of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Father Ray. And how was your last 3 weeks of the year 2020?
My last 3 weeks of 2021 was with you.
Oh. I didn't think you'd catch it, but you did. I said 2020, and you came right out and corrected me, 2021. Yes, indeed.
Right.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, wonderful.
Did you have a good time with all the different foods that we had?
Oh, I ate too much. I did a purification fast today, so I don't know
what
I'm going
through now.
Oh no! Now I'm eating. I did a 24-hour fast, and now I'm eating some of the red vine licorice sticks you gave me.
That's good, man. You just chow down, brother. That's what it's all about. You know, as usual, you know, I get my morning coffee in the morning, but when I get my morning coffee, I normally get the morning call from the world-famous beard of knowledge, the Swede, Mr. Robert himself. And, you know, he was sharing some beautiful things that happened to him and the rock star. He was called upon by some friends, and as you know, they just jump no matter what time, day, or afternoon it is, night. One of them got swamped out in the mud and everything. Guy had a four-wheel drive. But, you know, he never thought about preparing. And I think what we're going to talk about here, and I'd like to go from individual to individual to individual, to let the rest of the world out there know that you're going to go out there into the brush. And if you're new to the brush, you've got to have a checklist. And you make sure you check that list off once, twice, three times, four times to make sure everything you need is there, okay? Because you get out there from hell and gone and you get swamped out, and if you're not used to what you're doing out there, you may not come back. So I'm going to head this off with the beard of knowledge and ask him, what would he do and what he recommends to our neophytes around the globe going out into the brush, whether it be hiking, hunting, following a trail, just going out to see what the it's all about there out in the brush. Are you out there, Mr. Swede?
I am, Tom. And,
lay some knowledge on us, son.
The deal with, Tyler, he had his four-wheeler, and he went out to the woods and with some other folks, and they was having a good time. And, you know, you can't, there's just never, you never know what's going to happen on the trail there, and we've got this this tree that grows here in Arkansas. It's called a honey locust, and it's got these big long thorns that are about 3 inches long, and they'll pierce through anything just about. Well, he run it through the tire, so, you know, everybody can go out and enjoy our public lands, and most of the people around here will take some sort of an ATV or a side-by-side or even a four-wheel drive truck or whatever, and they cruise around and whatnot. The number one thing I can tell you to take is if you have the resources, at the minimum, a can of Fix-A-Flat and some plugs. Even better to have a portable air compressor and some plugs, and maybe a high lift jack or something that you could lift it up and get the weight off so the tire can, you know, reinflate if it comes off the rim. Those boys were caught in a pickle, and they were either going to have to walk way out, or they were going to have to leave their four-wheeler behind, or they were going to have to ride it and ruin a tire and drop a couple hundred dollars on a new tire and get it fixed. So, yeah, the whole thing is, and me and Rocky have had this experience many times, stop along the trail and fix your tire right quick-like, and you're back on and riding again within just a few minutes. But there's just nothing more miserable than looking and you have a capable vehicle there with a flat tire and there's nothing you can do about it. Because I've never seen any four-wheelers that had a spare. So be prepared. Carry your plugging kit, some sort of an inflation device if it had to be any. I mean, even if you had a bicycle pump, you're better off than nothing. So that's my take on that part of it. And Tyler,
well, you know,
at home.
What the whole deal was Tyler called and said that he got out there and had a blowout on his four-wheeler and didn't have a spare, didn't have an air pump, didn't have anything that he needed. So we went out. And fortunately, I had a little electric compressor, and we tried to air it up, and, well, it just wasn't working out. So we pulled the wheel off, and that's when the Swede found about an 8-inch honey locust thorn run into the sidewall of the tire. Okay, so the Swede got out the plug, and he plugged up the tire and then put some Fix-A-Flat in it and went ahead and pumped a little bit of air in it, and the boy was gone again. I mean, we had him on the road in a few minutes, and he said one of those Murphy's Laws things. Always expect the worst because it's going to happen. Well, he was Murphy. So
happened.
We got him going. We made some cold, upset boys a lot happier because we got him on the road again. And just like the Swede was saying, if you're going to go out, use your brain before you go out, because when you get out, if you haven't used it, it's too late. Whatever situation you're going into, think of the situation out. Think the worst that can happen. Expect the worst. Hope for the best. But
and remember.
Don't
always, Rocky, remember, don't be a Murphy. That's the way you're going to remember.
Don't be a Murphy.
And Tom's right. Yeah. Make that list and check it over and over and over. At least give it a four-time over. Just, Tom, that's a great thing, you know, and a lot of people get all wound up in the moment. Hey, man, we're going to the woods and forget just the basic things that you really, really could mess up your trip or put you in harm's way. So
you know, I'm going to share a little story with you guys. Those of you all know who my Big Blue is. It's my truck, my Ram.
Yes.
My son bitch is, this year is 12 years old, and it's over 300,000 miles. Rides and looks just like brand new. But I'm going to give you an example of what happened with us. We were going across this riverbed, and I said, well, Old Blue's going to make this no problem. Well, Old Blue made it okay, no problem, but didn't know that there was this sharp shale underneath because the river was only about 6-7 inches high where we talked to where it was running water. But I didn't know what was underneath. See, it just looked like rocks and stones and stuff like that, pebbles. Oh, my gosh. So we get it across the other side, and Fernando was with us. God rest his soul. He's dead today, but he knows the story real well. And we're all sitting there looking at ourselves and saying, where in the hell's the jack for this thing? And how the hell do we get the damn tire off? Well, there's a hole way in the back by the damn bumper where they put this thing in there that extends out, and we couldn't find that thing that extends out that you had to crank to let the other tire down. I mean, it's way beyond compare, because I'm all thumbs with that shit. And then I, after finding that all out, I said, look, this is all bullshit. I said, let's get down in town. I bought me one of those jacks, you know, those where you just like you see at a tire store. I got one of them, and I got one of those power wrenches to get the knots off the damn thing and everything. And we keep an extra tire on the trailer besides inside the trailer. Because we were hung up for 4.5 hours. 5 adults, nobody knowing that, you know, their ass from their elbow. And I said, it ain't going to happen with me no more. And I'll tell you.
With
you know
my
what?
Dodgers.
They make something to those trucks. It's called the owner's manual. What happens when you don't have an owner's manual?
Well, you should. I rode that beast across this United States. I know it's got an owner's manual in the glove box.
Well, I want everybody to know that if you want to learn about lists, you need to take a trip with Tom Biscardi. he has the list, mostly in his mind, but he has the list. And I guarantee you, if they get out and there's something that should be on the list that isn't, it's because somebody else forgot it.
True. You're right. You're right, Rockstar. Okay.
I'll give you that.
Because, you know,
I
got stuck
so much stuff in one trailer in my life.
You what, Doyle?
I said, I've never seen so much stuff in one trailer in my life.
Yeah.
You've got everything. You've got tents, sleeping bags, fire food, water, tires. You got, and all, I have you all, a little TJ, he would make us take that thing out and inventory it weekly. And, you know, it was my job to clean and condition all the firearms that you had in there. And, oh, my God, it's just amazing at what you can pack, how much stuff you can put in that small space.
Sure the hell is.
I guarantee you.
And Tom, that's another big brownie point for Big Blue. What about that, dragging that trailer all over the country too? That's a job.
And people don't understand it. They really don't. And when, if I ever told them we got, the maximum we ever got was 11 miles per gallon. And could you picture it's a 26-gallon tank? You know, and how long would it take us to go from here, California, to Florida or New York? Holy shit, we'd be spending nothing but gas all across this country. Although we've done it before.
We've done it.
You know, and it blows my mind.
Well, the last trip that I went on with y'all was a 9,000-mile trip for me. And when I got back home, y'all still had places to go. And my way of thinking, if you've got a big blue, you're in the lap of luxury.
Thank you for that, Rocky.
It doesn't quit. It's a great truck.
Oh yeah, and that back seat sleeps good.
It do.
I slept through the entire state of Oklahoma in that back seat. It's awesome.
You know, I want everybody to know if they don't know what Big Blue is like. It's the jumbo cab 4x4. It's a Laramie. It's by Dodge. And then we had, back then, 2010, paid $52,000 for it, cash money. Because I bought two cars. I bought that one, and I bought the Jeep Cherokee. I'll never forget. So we got heaters in the seats, coolers in the seats, surround sound. We've got climate control. We got the two hidden things underneath the back where your feet go. We have weather guard before weather guard became popular today that you see on the advertising. And I got a 4-inch thing of foam in the back because we used to rotate. People didn't want to sit up and sleep. They go in the back, get in under the with the pillows and the blankets and the sleeping bags, and they get 4 to 8 hours worth of shut eye, and they said, "Oh gosh, this feels just like home." And you know, we always took care of all of our people, folks. But let me tell you something. It is so important that you're out there and you get, like the Swede said, like Rocky said, you got to get out there amongst the nature itself, and you don't know what you're going to encounter. You know, you're going to be coming around one of these corners or going around over one of those mountains, and who knows what the hell is going to be on the other side. And I bet you each and every one of you.
About,
what?
Yeah.
I said it might be a Bigfoot.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Father Ray, you know, I've never asked you that. Have you ever had any type of calamity on all the traveling you've done?
No, I haven't.
So you had, I know who's been in the coast seat with you. It's been the big guy in the sky. I know. He's watching over you.
But no, I've had no. But the closest thing that ever happened to me that a calamity. We were up with J.C. Johnson, God have mercy on him, and up on the San Juan River, I had to go over a barbed wire fence, and I tore a hole in the left leg of my dungarees, of my jeans. Very small hole was patched over, and that's the biggest calamity that I've experienced on any of the expeditions.
Well, thank God, because you know what the biggest calamity would have been? If they would have gone up about 6 inches dead center, you would have had nothing to relieve yourself with.
Oh, no.
Can I make a comment on that? All right. We're talking about calamities. Let me tell you about the calamity I thought I was having. We were in Texas. We was going down the road. It was pretty cold out there. Was going down the road, and I started feeling this warm feeling. And Tom looked over at me and said, "How does that feel?" And I said, "What?" He said, "You got the heater in your truck." And I said, "Tom, thank you. I thought I was pissing my britches."
Oh.
No.
That's the first experience I've ever had with a heated seat, and I was thinking that I was going to have to do some explaining.
No.
You know, it's amazing that those of you people around the globe don't know about what heated and cooled seats are. They've been out for a long time, I think, because I've had them now for 12 years. And I'll tell you what, that's one perk that I would not leave out. I mean, between the satellite radio, the camera inside there, the backup camera, the GPS, the satellite, which I told you about already, and all the other gizmos that beep and blow up and shine and all the other stuff while you're driving, because everything now is so computerized, man. And the thing that I'll tell you, the best thing in the world to get is a lifetime warranty. They don't sell them here in California any longer, but I got them on the Big Blue. And every time they see me walk in, they say, oh, shit, here he comes again. Because it's a $100 deductible, and it covers bumper to bumper, north, south, east, west, anything that's wrong, including wiper blades, okay? And it just blows my mind. But it's the case, like Tommy was here for the holidays, him and his wife. And he says, hey, Dad, he says, you still got me as your beneficiary for the truck, because the only way that you could pass it on is somebody that had the name Carmine Thomas Viscardi. And guess what? He's TJ, Tom Jr., and he has that name. So the truck isn't any good for anybody else but him or his son, because his son has the same name. And he knows it's a great, great truck. I mean, those of you who've been in it, those of you who've been around it know. And they look at it today, and they can't believe that it's 12 years old. They can't believe that it runs and rolls down the road that it does. And they can't believe the comfort on the inside. Is that not true, Father Ray?
Very comfortable. Very comfortable. And it looks brand new.
So who else wants to share some of their experiences of hell with the world around here, around the globe, that they've experienced because they didn't take heed to making out that list? Or was everybody?
Hey, I'm here. I've got many.
Tell us your story, Doyle.
I'll tell you one. Me and my nephew, Brian, we went to Packet Creek, Tennessee, partially Bigfoot hunting and partially just to go target shoot some of our guns. And when I say some of our guns, Rocky says there's one and there's many. And we chose that day to take many. And I was driving an old 1981 Chevrolet pickup truck, which was a beast in itself. But for some reason, probably due to the fact that I was consuming some beverages that day, I let my nephew do the driving. And as we were trying to get out of Packet Creek, Tennessee, he was driving in low instead of drive on the automatic shift on it, and he burnt the transmission out on the truck.
Oh, geez.
So we are in the middle of nowhere with a transmission out, no cell service whatsoever. You can't even dream of a cell phone, maybe a ham radio, if that would even work where we were at. But we didn't have that. So now we've got a broken truck. We're 27 miles from the nearest house to get help. So we load up our guns because we're afraid to leave them in the truck because someone may come along and steal our guns. So now we're carrying like 12 rifles and 4 pistols on this 27-mile hike. And one thing that I have learned, you always carry water, because we didn't. So every few miles, we had to stop and literally stop and drink out of the creek just to keep ourselves hydrated. And we were walking and walking, and my nephew said, well, it can't get no worse than this. And I said, oh, it can. Don't you worry. And about that time, a massive thunder and lightning storm came on top of us. So now we're walking with all these guns, all that extra weight, dehydrated, soaking wet, with like 20 miles to go. Let me tell you something. That was a bad day.
You know, as you're telling that story, I got some stuff, bells going off in my head. We were in Arizona, up there by Snow Mountain, Christmas Tree Lane area. And all of a sudden, it becomes a whiteout. So we get out of the place where we were staying, and this was the first time I couldn't get the key in the door of the truck to work. And I watched how the Apaches, how what they did was they took their lighter, and at the door where they put the key in by the lock, he put, you know, one of those lighters right to it. In the matter of 10, 15 seconds, you put the key in there, and it was froze over. That was the problem. And I had never experienced that, believe it or not. And that was one thing that I learned. And another thing I learned is what he's talking about, but ours was a little bit different. Torrential rains hit in Arizona, and that's what's the word for that thing there, Father Ray?
Monsoons.
Oh, my God, it was monsoon season. And we're in this gully, and all of a sudden I got Ivan's grandson, and he's saying, Tom, he's go to high ground, quick. I said, why are you running past me? He says, look what's behind me. And it went from a dry bed to a monsoon hitting, and this thing, it was a river coming down this damn creek bed.
The Arroyo.
Yeah. Oh, I'd never experienced that before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they don't teach you things like that in the handbooks, folks. You got to experience them, I guess. And we did.
Well, you know, me and the Swede, we went out to Dutton. You've been there, not to the area that we were at the time. But we rode down into the woods as far as we could go on our four-wheelers. And then we got off and walked. And we got a little ways in, and it started raining. And a little place that we just passed over, I mean, it was just a little old dry spot. But we walked a little ways, and then it hit really hard. The rain did. So we decided we better get back to the four-wheelers. Well, we got part of the way back, and here the creek had come up enough that we couldn't cross it. So we went upstream, and when we got upstream, we saw where the creek split and went off on the other side of us. So we went downstream, and we found where it came back together. So we were basically on an island. We got to stay there for 7 days before we could get out of there. But we had a plan, because we had bedding, we had water, we had a shooter or two, and
spam.
We had some, but we killed a coon and dug the hole, wrapped that coon up in sassafras. We built a fire, let the fire burn down. We put the coon on top of it and then covered it over. And the next morning, instead of eating spam for breakfast, we got up and we ate coon. And, we were there for 7 days before it finally, the Swede finally said, well, he said, I'm going to try to swim it. I said, well, let me tie this rope on you. And he said, well, he said, yeah, that'd be a good idea. So you can pull me back. And I said, no, that's just in case you don't make it to the other side. I said, I don't know how long we're going to be out here, and I'll need the protein. So anyhow, he swam across it, and then he drugged me across, and we were gone again. But we actually had a good week out there.
That's what I love about Rocky. He can take the worst situation and make the best out of it.
Isn't that the truth? You get lemons, and he makes lemonade for crying out loud, and that's a beautiful way to live.
It was just a good
I got to tell
out.
You guys a story. I got a call early
hey,
this
Tom,
morning.
Let me tell you one other thing for all the viewers out there, listeners, whatever. Your trick with the lighter on the key.
Yeah.
If you don't have a lighter, the human body is 98.6 degrees. You can always pee into the lock, and you've got a short time window to get the key back in there because it will defrost it.
Never thought of that, but, you know, logic says, yes, you're right, 98.6, so that water, your pee is warm enough. Yeah, exactly. So yep. Let me tell you what happened. I get a call early this morning, before Swede, as a matter of fact. It was around 4:30 in the morning my time. 7:30 out there in Pennsylvania, Ohio area, and the people were telling me that they were out in the brush, and they had seen something that they had never seen before in their lives. And I said, okay. I said, what was it? And he says, well, we don't know if it was a Bigfoot because we've never seen a Bigfoot. We know how to differentiate between a bear and a deer and a cougar and things of that nature. But this thing was walking on two, and it was pretty damn tall. And I says, well, did you have a, you're calling me on your cell, right? He says, yeah. I said, did you take a picture? He says, we were too damn scared, and all we cared about was getting hightailing it out of there and getting the hell out because we didn't know what we were up against. So he asked if I had anybody out in that area. I said, well, we do. And I said, this is the time of year. These creatures are kind of bedding down or they're migrating. And so I asked him the area exactly, and he was telling me where everything was and all that. And I told him, I said, listen, I'll make a few calls and see what we could do. I said, make sure you keep your phone at the ready with the camera and see what you can take, because I don't know about you guys, but I'll tell you what. People with these new phones today, they're shooting movies. Did you hear what I just said? With this new 13 cell phone, the cameras that they've got, they're shooting entire movies. They're editing on them. By the way, guys, I was on TV on Monday. On People's Court. Remember old Joel Wapner? Well, it's Judge Millian took his place. He died just last year. He was 97. So I was on there on the show, and I won, of course. And somebody in China, believe it or not, one of our fans in China saw me on the show and sent the show to me, email style, with all the commercials edited. So it's just the show. So if anybody wants to see this, just give me your email and I'll send it out to you. I was just in stitches. I was laughing my ass off, but I had a good time. I really did. And I won, of course, too. And so that made me feel like $1 million. But I was on last Monday. And towards the end of the month, I'm going to be on Judge Judy, so I'm on a few different places now. So it kind of made me feel real good.
Cool.
Yeah. So
well, I never knew
send
that.
It to me. Send it to me.
That one, Tommy.
Who's that? Send it to me.
Rocky.
Rocky, that you?
Yep.
Okay, so hold on. I'm here right now. As a matter of fact, let me send it to you. Here we go.
I want it too.
Please don't ask me what my email address is.
All right. Well, give me your email real quick, Rocky. Meathead, isn't it Meathead?
I have no idea what it is. No, that's the restaurant.
Meathead Central. I'm going to send it to meatheadcentral at yahoo.com.
Okay.
All right. What's yours, Doyle?
It's Halcom, H-A-L-C-O-M-B.
H-A-L-D-O-Y-L-E
at yahoo.com.
Halcom Doyle at yahoo.com?
Yes, sir.
I got you. Anybody else while I'm
my
doing it?
My kid is going to love this. And my
okay,
dad
anybody
is
else?
Go ballistic.
Father Ray.
Father Ray, I already sent it to you.
Oh, okay.
You haven't opened it. Okay.
I sent it to Rocky.
Rocky, you'll send it to the Swede. Doyle has it, he'll have it, and Ray already has it. Okay. Coming at you guys right now. Boom. All right, so you've got it. You'll get a kick that the old Godfather goes up against these people and wins. Kind of made me feel
awesome.
Like $1 million. Hey, Rockstar. We haven't done a commercial yet. Can you do one real quick?
I bet we can. Here we go.
Okay.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
We're back.
That's the one that started it all, ladies and gentlemen. Searching for Bigfoot 1. Doyle, it came back. So, H-A-L-C-O-L-M-C-O-Y-L-E at yahoo.com is no good.
Capital H at the first.
A capital H?
Yeah, and then the rest lowercase.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have told you that. I didn't think about that, and it should work.
Well, it should work.
I know all my bill collectors use it, and they call me regular or email me regular.
Well, I'm going to try it.
Tom, I wanted to say one more thing before we go off the air.
Please.
Make sure that you pack a flashlight if you're scared of the dark.
Oh. As so many of...
Especially if you're a cult.
Hey.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. A $2
but you know what? I got to tell you something.
From the Dollar General is better than nothing.
Yeah, and Doyle knows all about that with that asshole.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tom. I had to do it.
No, you did good. You did good. I'm proud of it, as a matter of fact. You know, And Doyle was one of the people that saw it firsthand, you know?
I know, that's right.
And
I knew he'd catch on.
No, they're all assholes. Mm-hmm. You know the story. Okay, it looks like
happy
so far it's going. Doyle, it went through okay.
All right.
Okay, you got it, buddy. It went
this
through okay. You got the green light.
We're gonna watch that.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, time just flies, don't it? Oh, wait a minute. I just got it back in. No, didn't go. It's no good. So if you find out what the real one is, send it over to Rocky. I got to go. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Great show, folks. To all my friends around the globe, especially to my co-star, the Beard of Knowledge, Father Ray, and, of course, you, Doyle. Where would we be without you? God bless you guys. Happy New Year.
God
Happy
bless
New
everybody.
Year.
Happy New Year from Kentucky. I hope everything works out great for everybody this year.
Thanks, Doyle. You too.
I want to thank everybody for coming on. Be sure and catch us again next Wednesday, 7 o'clock Pacific time. Good night, everybody.
Good night from New Mexico.
Good night.
Good night,
Father Ray.
Good night.
Thank you for the prayers.
Yep. You're welcome.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. What's the bottom together?
Hey, honey.
Coyotes.
No, we can't go. Those are boogers. Those are children of the night. I watched. Don't you worry none, honey. I've got it. I take care of everything.
You can't go out there, honey. The booger man there gets you. Get you. Oh, get me bad. I don't like her in bed.
Who don't?
No.
Huh? Well, the plus side of that is Tyler can't get you in the closet. Yeah, I'm still. Yeah, I'm still doing. Don't worry about it, Mom. I've got enough covered. Well, try it past it.
Be gone, boo. Man, that shoots in the dark. Turn that heater off out there.
Yeah.
Because I know to do that kind of thing.
off the roofs. Not really.
Thank you.